The Lord said to me back at the end of February this year, he said to me, I wrote it down here just so I wouldn't forget it. Gird up the loins of your mind because it's time to run again. Now, you have to know the context of that to really know again what that means, run again. What does that mean, run again? Well, at the end of, March, well, we moved in February of 2020. So this was a year before the Lord said this. The Lord said to me, actually before we were done building our home, somewhere around December, the end of 2019, the Lord said to me, when you get finished building your house, there's coming a season of rest for you. And so, well, we finished and moved in the end of February. So roughly 2 months later, probably, a little over 2 months after the Lord said that. And he said, whenever we did that, there was coming a season of rest. Well, I didn't know at the time what that meant. But, you know, COVID shut down all of our traveling. Well, we traveled up to March, went to Bible. I preached in Bible school in March 2020. So just, you know, right after we moved in. But that was the last trip. In fact, I remember coming home and all in the airport there. I think it was around March 14th, 15th, something like that. Coming home, boy, everybody in the airport's scared, you know. They're staying away from each other. Boy, don't cough because you'll get accosted or something. So that was right before we, you know, and then of course even the churches were shut down from even meeting and so forth. But so that shut down pretty much all our planned travels for 2020. And so we, you know, I didn't know what that meant. The Lord said there's coming a season of rest, but that's what it ended up being. And so there was a whole lot more time at home. And a whole lot more time just not traveling. So, you know, our schedule wasn't as busy. And, of course, you know, we're maintaining. We're doing a lot at the church, so forth. But it's not like it had been. It wasn't like it had been. So when the Lord said this here in the end of February, just a month or so ago, a little over a month ago, that's what he meant. He said, gird up the loins of your mind because it's time to run again. Again meant, you know, you've had this season of rest. Go to 2 Chronicles, I'll tell you, we'll start here. 2 Chronicles 14. If you understand times and seasons, you'll be much better off in life. In other words, if you don't pay attention to what the Spirit of God is saying to emphasize right now, then you'll be zigging when you should be zagging, running when you should be resting, resting when you should be running. You know, there's different seasons in our lives. And to be honest with you, like for example, you're going there to 2 Chronicles. Let me, before you, just hold your finger there. And I don't know, maybe not. I don't know if we're going to get to that. Go over to the book of Luke. Look with me at the book of Luke, where it talks about Jesus and something that happened in his life here in Luke 9. It says in verse number 51, Luke 9, 51, I'm circling the airport. That's why I had you go to one scripture and then I'm going to a different scripture. Luke 9 says, verse 51 through 53, came to pass when the time was come. Underline that. When the time was come. Now notice there was a certain time that had come that made him do a certain thing. It came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. I'm talking about when he should go to Jerusalem, be arrested, put on trial, crucified, you know, and of course he was laying down his life for us, for our redemption. The time that should come that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. I want you to notice that. When a certain time came, he set his face. He's actually fulfilling a passage of scripture in Isaiah that talks about Isaiah 50 verse number 7. He set his face like flint. You heard that statement. We even use that today. But Jesus, at a certain time, when it came time to fulfill that purpose of being crucified for us, for all mankind, he set his face like flint. The King James here says, "He steadfastly and let me get the Amplified. He steadfastly and determinedly set his face to go to Jerusalem." Amen. Again, the King James says he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He got focused. It was a time of collecting all his attention on one thing. And that one thing was to get through everything that would try to oppose him from being crucified.
Amen.
Because the devil was going to try to talk him out of it. You know, how many of you know if you don't set your face and your attention on certain things, you open the door for the devil to talk you out of it. And a lot of times people quit or get off course because they have some opposition and they've let options on the table to quit. You need to get to the place there are no other options. I will never quit. Whatever you throw at me, devil, I will never quit. So Jesus removed all the options off the table, set his face determinedly to get through anything that would oppose him, any persecution, any shame, any mocking, anything that would try to keep him from going to Jerusalem. Amen. In spite of the scorn, in spite of the hatred, in spite of everything that was trying to oppose him. So you can read other translations and it brings all these things out. It says and goes on there, and he's sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, notice this, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. In other words, he wasn't even open right there to doing anything in that city. He was set to go to Jerusalem.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to, there's seasons when certain times come in your life, and you need to understand times and seasons. When certain seasons come in your life, it requires a certain response. And that's what the Lord actually was saying to me. Notice what he said, gird up the loins of your mind. Why? It's time to run again. Notice what he saw was important to address with me when he told me it was time to run again. He was addressing my mindset. Are you following me? And sometimes the mind, well, all the time, the mindset of resting is different than the mindset of a person running. Y'all still with me? Gird up the loins of your mind. So what he thought was important was to address my responsibility, the responsibility for my mindset in this season. You understand what I'm talking about? Now, I'm not just preaching about me. I'm preaching this to you, and we all need to gird up the loins of our mind. Now, you remember, I've described this a number of times. They all wore, you know, these long flowing garments in those days, even the men. And when something arose that required urgent, immediate action and being somewhere quick, they would gird those, you know, the flowing part of that long garment up around, you know, up away from their ankles and their lower legs and gird them up around their loins. The loins are your center parts. What the physical therapists today or the people that develop people's physique and so forth, they call it the core today. It's these muscles, these muscles, and these muscles. And those are your core. And you need to, if you're going to run, you have to gird up the loins of your mind to your core. And notice where your spirit is. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord searching all the inward parts of the belly. It's in your core.
That's good.
So he's saying, focus your mind on what's coming out of your spirit. Because it's not a time to delay your response to what's coming up out of your spirit.
That's good.
It's not a time to rest. It's a time to run. And he's addressing me and dealing with me about responding quicker to leadings of the Spirit. Because, you know, in a season of rest, you can start lollygagging into a slow response. Come on now. Hello. Now, so he thought it was important to address my responsibility and my mindset, and to turn my attention and give my attention to something different in this new season. What is our my attention? I believe your attention to be on. It's to be on running. Amen. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So running has a press to it that resting doesn't have. I said running has a press to it that resting doesn't have. In fact, it has a speed to it that even walking doesn't have. You understand what I'm talking about? And it has a mindset that isn't needed when one is resting or only walking. And when you're resting, you don't have much urgency about much. There's not any speed to any responses. You know, if you're on vacation, you just eventually will get down there to the zoo, and we'll see those animals when we get there. You know,
right?
Yeah. So, but when you're in a different season, a season of running, there's timing. There, it's important that you not miss a step. It's important that you not lollygag in taking the next step. Because you're not resting now. You're not even walking. You're running. Amen. And he's asking for a speedier response. That's what he's talking to me about. Amen. And so if we're going to not get behind the Lord, it's going to require a new mindset in some things. How many of you know you can get behind in what God's plan is for your life? You've only got so much time down here in this earth. I mean, you know, whatever, however long you plan to live. If you want to live to 120, whatever. You want to live to 90, whatever. You've only got so much time. And it's amazing how it can catch up with you. I remember a minister recently. He's about 60, right around 60 years old. He said it dawned. He said he and his wife were talking. He said it dawned on he and his wife that within 20 years we're going to be 80 years old. You know, you start thinking about it in those terms. It's like, whoa, you know. What are we doing right now?
Come on.
And so he started praying, Lord, show us what is important. And what to be given ourselves to? What our time should be consumed with? And listen, that can change as seasons of your life progress. Dr. Dufresne called them eras. The body of Christ goes through different eras. But see, your life goes through different eras or different seasons. You understand what I'm talking about? Amen. We're not talking about a season to be healed or set free from demonic bondage or anything like that. That season is already right now. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about running our race and finishing our course. Amen. So so it's important that we think about this. Would you look at it with me tonight? Running has a press that resting doesn't have. Isn't that right? In a season of resting, one may, or even walking, one may spend more time looking around him and enjoying the scenery. But in a season of running, one is almost oblivious to his surroundings. He has one thing in focus, the finish line, reaching the goal, you know. Amen. Running calls for a press in the mind that resting doesn't call for. I mean, if a man's running a race, I've run track, and I know you just don't think about anything around you. You got to focus on that. Because if you get to thinking about even the runners beside you, it's slowing you down. If you're looking at the fans, hi, mama, hi, there's mama, you know, it slows you down. And you can lose. So you got to learn to set your, like Jesus here, set your attention, set your face like flint on the goal in these seasons of running. I just sensed it was important to share this tonight. We got to recognize that we must gird up the loins of our mind. Amen. Thank God for the beautiful scenery of God's blessings around us, but our focus is on running. Hallelujah. And how many of you know, as we obey, all these blessings will come on us and overtake us? But we're not facing them, spending time enjoying them. We're in, I'm talking about a season of running. We've got other things we've got to focus on. Hallelujah. Now, go back to that verse I was going to share with you back in 2 Chronicles. I don't know if you lost that or not. 2 Chronicles 14. There's something here that's always stood out to me. I maybe have shared it one time here at church that happened. And you can see this in other stories in the Old Testament. But this one actually brings out some terminology that's very helpful. 2 Chronicles 14. You know, you can read through the Old Testament history and read about this king and whether he was righteous or he was godly or he was evil and wicked. And they would talk about his works and what he did. And he reigned in Jerusalem for whatever number of years. And then he died and they buried him in such and such a place. And so reigned in his stead. You know, and there's just a lot of, in 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, a lot of history like that. Well, here's a king, 2nd Chronicles chapter number 14. In verse number 6, now there's some things happened before this. It's important, but I'll just refer to them in a minute. This is talking about the ascension of Asa. And so it says there in verse number 2, Asa did that which is good and right in the eyes of the Lord. And it talks about some of his things. Then verse number 6, he built fenced cities in in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. How many of you know God will give you seasons of rest? Amen. You know, Jesus, for example, here, we've got this passage in Luke chapter number 9, where it talks about Jesus, setting his face like flint, and he's determined to get to a certain place. But you read other passages, like where it talks about Jesus telling his disciples, one of them's in Mark 6:31, telling his disciples after they had been busy ministering, a lot of people healed, he said they had so many people coming and going, they didn't even have time to eat, you know? And Jesus said to them there in Mark 6:31, come ye yourselves apart and rest a while.
Yes.
That was a different season.
Yes. Absolutely.
Can you see? Jesus himself would take time to rest, and then, but the purpose of that was not to just get in a new flow for the rest of his life.
Right.
It was to rebuild. Build himself up. Prepare. Because something else is coming, and it's going to be another time of running again. Notice, come ye yourselves apart and rest. Notice, a while. Not for from now until kicking up your feet until the trumpet blows. You start doing that, and you're going to, Pastor Debbie and I are going to knock on your door and say, hey, what's this leaving us all the work, you know? Sitting there in your bohonkas. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, just smile. He might be talking to you, you know. No, come ye yourselves in part and rest a while. But whenever that season was over, whenever they got some rest, it was back at it. Amen. All right, so back here in 2 Chronicles 14. Let's read that again. Verse 6, he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years. Now, if you read verse number 1, I think it was 10 years. So there's 10 years of no war. Now, that's a long time in those days. Verse number 7, therefore he said to Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side, so they built and prospered. I like that. Don't you like that? Now, this season of rest came, if you look at the whole story, and actually the king before him, you'll find that the season of rest came as a result of obedience in a previous season, which had to do with, the king before him wiping out some of the enemies and some of the high places and some of the stuff that was in the land that didn't belong there. And he was obedient to God to do all that. Amen. Some things, you go through seasons in life where God says, "Now I want you to do this, I want you to do that, I want to get you, I want you to get rid of that, I want you to develop this part of your ministry, the plan for your life, I want you to make progress here, I want you to get this training, I want you to go to this Bible school, whatever it is for you."
Yeah. Yes, sir, yes, sir.
And it's a press, and you don't have time to rest or relax much. You're on an assignment, you got something to complete. No dilly dallying.
Right.
No smelling the roses right now. You know what I'm talking about? You're about some kingdom business. But you know, the Lord is a merciful Lord.
Yes, He is.
He'll take you through seasons like that, but then He'll, once you've obeyed Him and finished something and wipe something out or accomplished a goal, He'll say, "Okay, now's the season of rest for you." That's what happened to the Israel. And notice what Israel did here in that season of rest. After a season of being obedient, wiping some things out, getting some things done. After that, God said, "Okay, season of rest. And here's what to do. Build." In other words, in these seasons of rest are times of preparation and building yourself up for the next thing God says, "I want you to do."
Amen.
Hallelujah. Some of you should look at me with a little bit of interest. Amen. Praise the Lord. The many seasons of rest come as a result of practicing the press in a former season. Go over to Philippians. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter number 3. You still out there?
Yes, sir.
Philippians chapter number 3. Praise the Lord. Now this is Paul. This is talking about his mindset and the way he lived. Paul was a go-getter. Philippians 3, he talks about verse number 11. Verse number 12, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Underline that, "I follow after." I follow after. In other words, I'm after something.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
"So I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." Underline apprehend. Apprehended. "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching," underline reaching, "reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press," underline press, "towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. Now, that's a mindset. A press mindset, a press mentality. It's a season of it's not a season of rest. You can just say it that way. It's a season of going after something God said is yours. Fulfilling a part of His plan that He said is yours, that belongs to you. In other words, part of His plan for you. All right, so Paul said that's the mindset he had, and he had to even forget things which were behind. Now notice then what he said. That was verse 12 down through 14. Look at verse 15. "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect." Now this word perfect doesn't mean without failure or never missed it. It means wholehearted. It means complete. It means mature. "As many as be wholehearted or mature, be what? Thus minded." What's he talking about? Press minded. Isn't that right? Get in there, get the job done. Like Jesus, whenever it came a certain season, he had to get to the cross. He was finishing his earthly ministry. And it was a time to, to get to the cross. Amen. And he set his face like flint. Now, Paul said, as many as be thus minded, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If you want to finish what God's called you to do, if you want to be mature, if you want to be get it all done, and here, well done, this is the kind of mindset you got to have. God will give you seasons of rest, but those seasons are all preparation and building yourself up. Preparing for another season of press.
Amen.
You know, it's, a lot of these things require a press on the flesh. It requires, because the flesh will go, ah, and you go, shut up. You're not ruling me anymore. Amen. You know what that whine is? It's all unwillingness coming out, weakness coming out, fleshiness coming out. Church on Wednesday nights too? Shut up. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, I don't know. Maybe you just think this is a good sermon. There's something in your life that this can address right now. What is it that you're being distracted by? What is it that is taking too much of your time? Amen. If you don't know, ask your spouse. She'll tell you. Or he'll tell you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let as many as be perfect be thus minded. What minded? Press minded. Reaching minded. Apprehending minded. This is where the flesh squirms and you and the mind says, do we have to? And you say, yes, because we're not living out of this. We're not living out of the flesh. We're living out of here. We're girding up. Girding up. Praise the Lord. Some of you are going to like this before it's over. Praise the Lord. A big part of practicing the press is girding up your attention. A lot of times, in a season of rest, your attention can, because there's not a goal by the end of the month. You know, there's just things that you're maintaining more or less. Because your focus is on the rest at the time. I mean, if the Lord tells me, you know, there's coming a season of rest for you, I'm not going to keep pressing in that season and not be built up for what I need to do in a time. Some people have trouble resting.
That's true.
You got people on all sides of this, you know, but some people have trouble resting. I have had to learn to rest. I pretty much knocked myself out in the traveling ministry before we came to pastor. I was pretty much shot physically because I didn't know how to rest. I've had friends that have died in their 50s because they didn't know how to rest. I mean, this body is mortal. We're not in our immortal body yet. And you can wear this one down. And if you wear it out and lose it, you got to go. This is your earth suit. It's like being an astronaut out in space. You can't live here without your earth suit, your body. Out in space, they can't live without an astronaut suit. You wear this one out, you're done.
Absolutely.
Or if you can't go. You know what I mean? You're too tired. You're worn out. You're hurting. Something's not working. You know, physically. Amen. Well, then you're going to have to, you know, get yourself built back up. Amen. Pastor Jay, this is good preaching. Well, thank you. I'm encouraging myself in the Lord. Praise the Lord. So it's not wrong to rest. You just have to know what the purpose of it is. And I appreciate my wife about this, but I've focused in the last, I don't think it's been 15 years, probably more like 10 or 12 years, been really much more focused on taking good care of my body. And, you know, you don't put your faith in what you know in the natural. You keep your faith in God. You know, people say, well, this is the diet you should eat because God told the Jews to eat this. Yeah, whenever the Jews ate all that and Jesus came on the scene, there was just still many of them sick. You know what I'm talking about? So you got to be real careful about putting your faith in diet and everything. But there's some practical things. Everybody knows, you know. So I've been focused on you know, just learning but some of that. My wife's helped me a lot. And because of that, I'm physically, you know, doing good. And but you get to the place you're aware that this body is going to require faith to keep going. I don't know if some of you maybe still in your 20s and you're not, you think you're just going to, for the rest of your life, have all that energy and so forth. Just burn the candle at both ends and keep on going.
Yeah.
Well, someday you're going to wake up and there's no more go ye in you, you know?
Right. Yeah.
The giddy up, done, yeah. Got up and giddy up the way, you know? So you have to pace yourself. You have to learn to take care of yourself and learn not to push. Brother Hagin always said, you know, whenever he was in the healing line, he'd be ministering in the healing line. He said he'd get to the place where his body would start getting tired and wearing out. He said he always quit. He always backed away. He said, because I'm not going to wear my body out and not be able to do this another day.
Right.
I'm not. He said, there's a certain line I know I can't push past.
Right.
That's just a wise man.
Yes.
He said at the end of his life, somebody asked him, you know, if you had anything to do over, would you do anything different? He said, yeah, I'd take better care of my body. Which, here's a man of faith saying, you know, there's things that I had to deal with that I wouldn't have had to deal with if I'd have taken better care of my body.
Yeah.
See, it's not all faith, it's wisdom and faith.
Yes.
Faith and wisdom.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Somebody said, well, doctors say I need two new knees. Well, maybe it's because of all the weights you've been carrying around for years. Who said that? Did I say that? Some things are just natural. They're not the devil. You know what I'm talking about? Well, praise the Lord. All right. So that all being said, Paul said, we have this mindset, we press. But you have to learn that there's other things in the Bible about resting as well. And so there's seasons. Amen. And so, praise God. Now, let's look at some of the things. We were talking about Jesus knowing different seasons. For example, here's some. Jesus knew times and seasons. You can see verses. Let me just give you a couple of verses, for example, here. Matthew, let's see here. I got so many, I don't want to read all these. Where's the ones I want in here? John 7, verses 6. Through 8. John 7, 6 through 8. Jesus had some things come up and he said in John 7, 6 through 8, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The context here is some of his brethren, you know, they said, you ought to go up to the feast right now because, you know, there in verse number 4, if you look at it, you can show yourself openly. You know, show yourself to the world. If you got all these things, show yourself to the world. He's basically saying in verse 6, my time has not yet come. My time has not yet come. In other words, if I truly, in other words, there's some things that the devil would do if I went up to the feast right now. And it would shorten the time that I have to minister before the time for the cross. He knew the season. He knew it wasn't time yet to be crucified. So there were certain things he wouldn't do. Remember, there's one place said he didn't go up to Jerusalem because they sought to kill him. Wasn't time for that. Amen. Then verse number 8, go you up to the feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. Isn't that an interesting thing? Then verse number, this is Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse number 18. He said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. So if you go through the Gospels, you can see this over and over again. I don't take time to read all the scriptures. Time after time, Jesus would say, my time is not yet.
Right.
My time is not yet.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not going to do this. My time is not yet.
Right. Yeah.
In other words, he was avoiding certain places, certain cities, certain settings, certain groups, some, you know, Sadducees and Pharisees and so forth. He was avoiding them at certain times because he knew they were laying traps to kill him, laying traps to arrest him, so forth and so on. And he knew it wasn't time for that yet.
Right.
How many of you know you can know these things by the Spirit?
Yes. Amen.
Somebody said, how do I know times and seasons? By the Spirit.
Yes.
By the Spirit.
Yes.
I didn't know when the Lord said it's a time of rest, a season of rest after you get your house. I didn't know COVID was coming. But he was using that time. That was not wasted time.
Right.
For us, now I don't know about you. Maybe you played and goofed and golfed and whatever. But excuse me, I didn't say that, did I? But maybe you wasted it. But I used it to build myself up. I spent more time in that upper room praying, feasting on the Word than I ever have. Glory to God. Getting all sorts of direction, revelation, sermons, some things I haven't preached. I don't know how long it'll take me to preach it all. Just hearing from God, direction. What do we emphasize? What's coming? Show me things to come concerning your sons.
Amen.
Show me your plan. Show me your timing. Show me where our place is in the body. Show me divine connection. Show me. I'm asking all these things. And he started revealing things to me and showing me and talking to me. And so we've got a lot of direction for things to come.
Amen.
He told me there's four men he's going to bring into my life. Just yesterday, he brought one of them. Praise the Lord. I mean, it already had already started, but it was confirmed. And now I'll eventually be able to tell you about it. They're going to show up right here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just a lot, you know, outwardly might not look like much has happened, but a lot is being set in motion. Hallelujah. And so, but Jesus knew timing. And here... Yeah, one verse in John 7, he said, my time is not yet. But then here in Matthew chapter number 26, he said, my time is at hand. And so this is when he had, you know, the preparations made in the upper room for the Last Supper and so forth. And so you can read through the Bible and learn, like Jesus said, he actually rebuked the people of his day because he said to them, you can discern the face of the skies, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Isn't that what he said? I said, isn't that what he said?
Yes,
that's what he said. Matthew 16:3. In the morning, you say it's foul weather today, and the sky is red and lowering, but, oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the skies, but you can't discern the signs of the times. In other words, he's saying you need to know things by the Spirit, what time it is. One of the tribes in the Old Testament was named Issachar. It said they knew what time it was, and here's the important part, and what Israel ought to do. When you know what time it is, that tells you what to do.
Yes.
When it's a season of rest, it's not a time to, you know, keep on pushing. It's a time to rest. When it's a season to run, it's not a time to rest.
That's right.
Come on. Hallelujah. Pastor, I just don't know. Well, if you'd pray more, you'd know. If you had a prayer life. Prayer is how you learn all these things. Fellowshipping with God, spending time in the Spirit. Don't just be busy mentally and so forth. Watch and pray and you'll know these things. Glory to God. And you'll know what to do. And that includes the mindset you're to take on. Dr. Dufresne used to say this. He said, not only do we need to renew our mind to the Word, he said, you need to renew your mind to every era or every season or every phase of your life.
That's right. You're right.
How many of you know, if you're married, you know, or let's back up, if you're single, that requires, you know, that doesn't require giving of your time to family affairs like it will whenever you get married.
That's right. Very true.
And then when you get married, there's somebody else in the home besides you.
That's right.
Yeah. That requires giving your time to it, to them. And then when you have kids, it's another season.
Yeah.
Amen. I really enjoy getting out and doing this and doing that recreation. Well...
Yeah.
You might not have as much time to do all that as you used to have.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
It's one of the most unselfish things you can do is have kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, some people are still selfish and leave their wife and leave her with the kid. And somebody needs to spank them. But you maintain the mindset of a former season, and it can hinder you fulfilling a new season. That can be a weight that slows you down. Remember, lay aside every weight. Thinking wrong in a new season can keep you from fulfilling that new season. So you have to renew your mind to every season. It requires a mindset. Every season requires a new level of discipline, new level of focus. Amen. And so you have to renew your mind to every new phase. And you've got to ask yourself the question, what's important for me to emphasize in this new season that maybe wasn't important to emphasize in another season? Do you understand what I'm talking about? What priorities have changed? Come on now. What should I now spend my time doing that wasn't to occupy my time or my attention in a former season? You know, that former season was, it's possibly, if you've been walking with God, a former season was God as well as this new season. But that former season required a different focus oftentimes than what he's telling you to do in a new season. And a lot of times I've found this as I go on with the Lord, he keeps cutting things off. Or leading me. He doesn't cut them off for me. I have to cut them off. Lay aside the weights. I have to crucify the flesh. I have to, you know. And he keeps leading me that this isn't important now. This isn't important now. Amen. And life becomes more disciplined and more focused. In my 20s, I didn't think much about standing before the Lord and giving account. But boy, I'm starting to think about it a little bit more. You know what I'm talking about? I'm like, every man will stand and give an account. I think more about that than I used to. You should be thinking more about that. Amen. What did you do? Remember Jesus said to one of his parables, he said, the goodman of his house, you know, he talks about parables about a man taking a trip into a far country. And he turns over the house to his stewards and so forth. And he comes back. And when he comes back is taking care and feeding the household, when he comes back, will get a reward. Blessed is the man that when the Lord comes back will find him so doing. Well, when the Lord comes back, I want him to find me busy doing what he told me to do. Not, man, you sure got a lot of lollygagging in there. A lot of wasted time. Amen. Well, I don't have anything to really give myself to right now. Okay, give yourself to preparation for what's coming.
Amen.
Give yourself. Cut off the video games. Cut off the internet wasted time.
Amen.
God's not done with any of you. He's not done with me. He's got a plan. He's got things for us to do. Hallelujah. And this can take a long time to get into the next phase, or it can be something we just get her done. I remember when we first started traveling, when the Lord called us to the ministry, back whenever I was young. Of course, you know, up until he called us to Bible school, Rhema, anyway, when we went to Bible school, I really started focusing in on that call. And so, now, this isn't you can get real religious about things and get all bound up, and you think you can't have any recreation or something, and that's not right. You know what I'm talking about? But when I got to Bible school, they had sports teams and so forth, and I enjoy that. In fact, to be honest with you, some of that can be helpful to keep you strong physically, you know? So you can run your race. But I just had it in my heart, no, I'm not going to give myself to that because I know how distracted I can get with it. So I'm just going to give myself, I'll take that time rather than doing that, give myself to studying and praying and so forth. And we did. We got with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Went to Bible school at 18, and by age 26, I believe, I look up it again, we're in a full-time ministry, traveling all over the United States. And we go to churches, and people would, you know, people never heard of us before. They'd hear us preaching. People would come up. This happened everywhere we went. People come up after the service, and they'd say, "He said, they enjoyed the service." And you see, they look on their faces, kind of, they had a puzzled look on their face. I apologize for asking this, but how old are you?
Yeah.
You know? And I'd tell them, and they'd go, "Wow. You minister like you've been in the ministry for a long time." That's because we got with it.
Yes, sir. That's good. Amen.
I said we got with it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Some people didn't understand that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, and listen, how God leads somebody else is not our business.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, maybe maybe God will allow them to do some other things and so forth. But everybody's got to have a clear conscience before God.
Right.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Yeah.
Tell your neighbor he's preaching real good tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When you are in a season of rest, you can develop a mindset that if you're not careful in the new season, will have you, it will keep you in a mentality of, "I'll get around to that eventually." When the Lord deals with you about something. Can keep you in that mindset. Because when you're in a season of rest, you're getting things in your heart that are going to happen whenever you get back in the, like whenever, you know, season of rest, we're not traveling much. You get things in my heart. I'd get things in my heart for preaching out there and talking to ministers about and so forth and so on. And, well, that's not right now. I'll get to that right whenever that season comes. Because it's a different season. It's a season of rest.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
He's putting things in me for a season to come.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Even things on social media. I got a lot to share. I just, you know, I couldn't get it all out in the whole, it's going to take a lifetime.
Come on.
So, but when he says it's time to run, gird up the loins of your mind. If you're not careful, that mindset of I'll get to that eventually when the next season comes, can come over into that new season. And you live with that new mentality, I'll get around to that eventually. Whenever it's not a time to get around to it eventually, it's a time to actually get her done.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that mindset can cause you to be unfaithful and disobedient.
Yes.
And you can get behind God.
Right.
I want to keep right in step with Him.
Yes.
I don't want to be ahead of Him. I don't want to be behind Him. I want to be right in step with Him.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And I don't want to have a slow pace of obedience. Because that's not a press mentality. That can cost you the anointing. That can cost you not being able to finish. That can cost you places in the body that God said, "Well, if they're going to be slow, I'll put somebody else in there." I don't know if you've ever thought of this, but I don't want anybody having the place that was originally designed for me. I hate that. I'll just be honest with you. I don't say hate much, but I just don't like that. No way.
Come on.
Nobody gets my place.
Cause me
lollygagging. All
right.
How many of you know we're all replaceable?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, praise God. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Well, can we wrap this up with just a few verses on these times and seasons? Let me just read a couple to you. There's all sorts of things we should say. We got to finish this, though. See, we're not talking about a time to be healed. There's that. That's the time is yes, and right now, amen. 2 Corinthians 6:2. In a time accepted, He's heard thee. Now is the accepted time, so forth and so on. But when it comes to these other things, 1 Thessalonians 5:1, He said, "Of the times and seasons, brethren, you don't have any need that I write unto you." Times and seasons means there's, how many of you know the Bible talks about the end times? The end of all things is at hand, for example. All these verses that talk about end times. There's a certain, you might say, God has history planned out. He had a time for the Messiah to come. Amen. He has a time for the rapture of the church. There's certain things that are on His calendar. Now, not everything, you know, that a man does in the middle of all that, but there's certain things on his calendar that he's gonna. And be honest with you, some of these things we can speed them up. I'll be honest, I don't have time to get into that. But he said here, 1 Thessalonians 5, 1, of the times and seasons, you don't need that I write unto you. But sometimes some seasons are determined by us. Like take this verse, for example, 1 Peter 5, 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, and that he may exalt you in due time. Galatians 6, 7 through 9 talks about sowing not to the flesh, but sowing to the Spirit, and in due season we'll reap if we faint not.
Yes.
Remember what Brother Richard Roberts said about reaping your harvest?
Yes.
In the natural, the seed waits on the season, but in the Spirit, the season waits on the seed.
Yes. Yeah.
There's some things that you can set the time for.
Yeah.
But some things you can't. You have to know the difference when you read the scriptures. How much of this can I determine, and how much of it is in God's time? And we're not talking about being healed. You understand? That's a whole separate subject. The Bible talks about in the last days, Acts 3:19. I'm almost done. Repent ye therefore and be converted, and the times that your sins may be blotted out, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then 2 Timothy 4:6, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Paul had finished his course. You read all his writings on this. It wasn't just God saying, okay, Paul, it's time. It was him having finished his course. People get off on dying. They think, well, God just has a day in mind. And when you get to that day, just your gig's up, you know. It's not that way at all. You can read in the Bible where you can do certain things to lengthen your life. Wicked and unrighteous men will not live out half their days, the Bible says. People can lengthen their life. They can shorten their life. They can do different things. But Paul was saying here, I finished my course. And so I'm ready. It's time for me to go on. Not because God said so, because he remember in another place in Philippians, he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He said, I don't know which one I'm going to choose.
Yeah. Yeah.
So God wasn't one determining that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Paul was determining that, but he knew in his spirit here in this verse when he said, the time of my departure is at hand, he knew that he had finished.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And so God had said to him, whenever you're ready, come on, you're done. Yeah. You don't have to stay there any longer.
Yeah. Right.
Boy, if the Lord says to you, you finished and you're done, you don't have to stay there any longer.
All right.
You might want to say, okay, where's the grandkids? Get them in here right now, because I'm not staying here much longer. We talk about living the good life down here, and that's right. But compared to heaven, But don't be going before you finished your course. Amen. So a whole lot we could say about that. Here's one: Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Amen. Tell your name, redeeming the time.
Redeeming the time.
Hallelujah. Don't waste time is what he's saying. The devil knows some things on the timing. Revelation 12:12 says that he goes about in the end times with great wrath, knowing that his time is short. That he has but a short time. I don't believe he knows everything regarding timing. But he does know some things. He can tell things are closing in on him. Yeah, he sees the church, and he sees them rising up, and he's like, uh-oh, they're going to get that harvest reap, and that means it's over for me, you know. New address, bottomless pit, you know what I'm talking about? Glory to God. Here's one that's very, very important. Luke 19. Jesus said there were some things going to happen to those in Jerusalem, verse 44, because they knew not the time of their visitation. There are times of visitation. Amen. Certain men have been sent to the earth as a visitation. Jesus himself here is referring to himself as a visitation.
Right.
Jerusalem was totally oblivious to their time of their visitation. If they had known who he was and received that visitation, they wouldn't have had. He mentioned there all that was going to happen because they didn't receive the visitation that he was. And so there's things that come into people's lives because they miss their visitation.
Yeah. Yeah.
They miss a ministry that a man has sent into the earth to bring into the earth.
Yeah.
Brother Hagin was a visitation.
Yes.
You know, people like Smith Wigglesworth, visitation.
Yeah.
People like Billy Graham, visitation.
Yeah.
The Wesleys, a visitation.
Yes. Amen.
All these mighty moves of God through history. Brother Seymour, a visitation.
Yeah.
Man of God.
Right.
Raised up. But some people criticized them, didn't recognize the time of their visitation. They had to pay the price for it. What's the price? Doing without what they brought into the earth. And all the consequences of that. Well, thank you for your enthusiasm. Every pastor is a visitation. Every anointed person of God is a visitation. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, did you get anything out of all this? So be a person of prayer so you not only know what time it is, but you know what to do and what mindset you're to have in the middle of that, in the middle of that season. And so I just wanted to fill you in a little bit more about when he said it's time to run. I just wanted to fill you in a little bit more about where we are and bring you along in this. So I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm not here to tell you, you know, cut out any whatever, you know, recreation that you have. It's between you and the Lord.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. But ask yourself the question, when the Lord said to Pastor, it's time to run, what does that mean to me?
Yeah.
In fact, let me rephrase that. Don't just ask yourself. Ask the Lord. We assume, you know, that because he hasn't spoken to us anything, well, Pastor, God spoke to Pastor, that didn't mean anything for me. We assume that doesn't mean anything for us, but assuming is dangerous.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. A lot of times we have not because we ask not. In other words, we don't know certain things because we haven't sought to know. We haven't asked. What does this mean to me? Amen. I appreciate certain ones of you. I'm thinking of one person right now. Well, I don't want to embarrass them. I'm not trying to point out one over another. But they've had to give themselves to some training for some things.
Yeah.
And there's several of you like this. And you're getting on it. And you're getting diligent. Because you see, the ministry is going to need it.
Yeah.
And we've talked to you about, you know, what we had in our heart.
Yes, sir.
And so you're getting with it.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
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 People like that leave the rest in the dust.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. If they don't stay with, you know.
Yes,
what God's telling them to do.
Yes, amen.
Somebody else can get their place. Well, hallelujah. A little different tonight. Wasn't necessarily make you run the aisles kind of preaching, but eventually the day will come when you get with it and obey God in the plan, that the day will come you'll run the aisles.
And,
because the payoff is willing and obedient, eating the good of the land. Lord, stand with me. Praise the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. We're not talking about bondage where you can't ever enjoy anything. Amen. Somebody for my birthday gave me the whole, you know, I guess they heard me say it. I think I might have mentioned something about it or something one day. I wasn't hinting. I really have to watch it. I don't like to say much anymore because people go do it. I'm not hinting. You know what I'm talking about? But so I just must have said something one day about liking John Wayne. And man, it'd be nice to have that whole set of his movies, you know? So someone bought for my birthday a whole set. Every movie on CD, DVDs, whatever you call it. Every movie that he ever made. Boy, I put them in a little spot for my... And I get a chance, you know what I'm talking about?
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Got any silver? Got any gold? Nope. Just lead. See, he had rustled the cattle and was trying to get him to buy them back, you know. The cattle rustler was trying to get him to buy them back. Silver? Got any silver? Got any gold? Nope. Just lead. Boom, 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 boom. So we're not in bondage. Tell your neighbor, we're not in bondage. I found sometimes when you really are pressing on something, that you, every now and then you just got to back out and just kind of relax a little bit. I'm not talking about for weeks, but I'm just talking about for an evening or something and kind of enjoy some relaxation. Boy, you get up and you go again. You know what I'm talking about? So we're not in bondage. Poke your neighbor on the shoulder before you go. Say, we're not in bondage tonight, but we are focused. Hallelujah. We're going to get it done. Hallelujah. Say this out loud. I am girding up the loins of my mind as well. And I'm getting ready to run more. Glory to God. Whatever that means, Lord, show me what it means for me. I'll obey. And I'll lay aside anything you say, lay aside. In Jesus' name. I don't want any weights or sins to slow me down, because I'm going to finish this race and I'm going to win. I'm going to get across the finish line and I'm going to win and I'm going to get the prize. Amen. Give God a shout tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. It's a wonderful thing for the Lord to take a time after you've pressed and been obedient for Him to say, yeah, it's a season of rest for you. That, man, I'll tell you, that just, it's like, He loves me, He loves me, He loves me. He's not just trying to work us to a grind and, you know, hard taskmaster. He's interested not only in you serving and doing what He told you to do, but He loves you as a person. Amen. But we're not down here to sip lemonade and rock in the hammock, you know? We got work to do. Amen.